Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason in Nashville, Willie in Seattle. We say hello, as we do every Tuesday at 1 o'clock, to Mitch Light of The Athletic. He is on the line with us. Mitch, good to see you last night at the Vanderbilt-Memphis game.
Yeah, I had a brush with mediocrity last night. I ran into Chase McCabe roaming the hall, roaming the lobby there. No security, nothing. Just anyone could come up and talk to him. It was great.
Well, I was just telling Derek this. Within 45 seconds, I ran into four people that I knew, including you. Two guys I went to high school with, saw you, and ran into Jim Wyatt. So
that's good. Yeah, it's good to be out among the people.
It was a who's who. Not a very good night for Vanderbilt, but young team and a lot to build on.
Yeah. It's Memphis. I was really impressed with Memphis. I know we're going to talk college football here. I think someone asked me if Memphis was ranked in the preseason. I said no. I think pollsters have been teased by Penny Hardaway's teams in recent years with all the hype and all the five stars, and probably been just taking a different approach and wait and see. I'm not a Memphis basketball expert, but this looked like a pretty good team to me, and a very veteran team. Their big guy was, one of their best players, Williams, is 26 years old, which is very difficult to be in college at 26, but that's another topic. I was really impressed with Memphis last night.
So Tennessee falls to Georgia. Georgia in control of that game from the onset. Josh Heupel talked about some of the mental mistakes that they made. The crowd definitely played a factor there in Athens. How do you think that affects Tennessee moving forward?
That's a good question. I don't know. If they had another big game this week, and not taking away from Missouri, if it was on the road, it might be one thing. But, like, I think Tennessee's the point now with the confidence. Maybe their confidence was shaken. That's part of your question there. But I think they can not play their best and still win these last three games. Like, if they still had one of the more challenging games on the schedule, it's like, how do you react? But, I think Josh Heupel will have those guys ready. They know what's at stake. It's not like if they would have been knocked out and clearly out of the college football playoff and just all that hype, all the building up to that crescendo, and then have like the playoff ripped from under them, then maybe you could see some sort of letdown. But I don't see it this week. I think they're still obviously a really good team. They have so much to play for. And, we can, later on this week, you get into scenarios about what happens to this and this. But what Tennessee needs to do is still beat the you-know-what out of people. That's the best thing on their resume. I mean, they've got the wins at LSU, Alabama, all that. But you look around other teams who, and I know it's just about mostly about record, but you got to look at how teams play, too. Tennessee has played well virtually every week except for Georgia. So if they can continue to play well, that strengthens their argument even more.
Is TCU for real in your mind? If they run the table and they win the Big 12 – what is the legitimacy of their argument to be in the playoff?
Well, is one thing would be undefeated. Now, they have been fortunate. They've played, I think, four straight weeks, maybe five, or four last five, where they have either knocked out the other team's starting quarterback or the quarterback was hurt coming into the game. And let's not kid. I mean, that's an advantage. When you're not playing the other team's starting quarterback, in a lot of cases, that's huge. They have found ways to win games. They beat Kansas by 7, Oklahoma State by 3, Kansas State by 10, West Virginia by 10, Texas Tech by 10. So I talked about Tennessee dominating teams. TCU is not dominating teams. So I understand the skepticism there. One thing I'll say, like the Big 12 isn't a great league, but I don't think there's really bad teams. West Virginia is kind of struggling. I think they have to bring it every week because, again, there's a lot of parity in that league. But Vegas, if TCU is playing Alabama or TCU is playing Tennessee on a neutral field, I would think 7-point spread at least for the SEC team. So if they go undefeated, they're going to be in really good shape. A lot of the committee members are, it's impressed by record, which they should be. But, going undefeated is difficult. I just, with the fact that they've played so many backup quarterbacks and they're not really dominating teams, I am a little skeptical.
We'll talk with Mitch Light of The Athletic. Now, Mitch, looking at this team, the Vols, if they had to play Georgia again on a neutral field, do you think this would be a much closer game? And what I mean by that, I mean there's the two opportunities UT had early. They were overthrown passes, and they could have changed the scope of that game completely with those two big plays, because both of them would have been touchdowns, but they were not. Georgia controlled the game pretty much, but it wasn't like they just completely shut UT down. Maybe they did in the second half, but in the first half, UT still had opportunities to make that a much closer game and possibly even win it in the first half than what it showed. So do you think on a neutral field, this game would be much different?
I would clearly still take Georgia. I think everyone pretty much would. I mean, but sure, like, if they played on a neutral field 10 times, I would say Georgia would win 8. But those two times would be those times where Tennessee would have to take advantage of those opportunities. Tennessee has to put Georgia, if they play again, in an uncomfortable situation. Like, Georgia was never uncomfortable in that game, even though they fumbled the first, you know, they almost threw a pick on maybe the first or second play of the game, and then they fumbled the ball away. And then I think holding Tennessee to that field goal was huge. And Georgia was never uncomfortable the rest of the game. You know how Kirby Smart is, the type of coach he is. He got that lead. The weather was bad. You know, they kind of shut it down a little bit. They just didn't think Tennessee could score enough there. So, you know, Georgia's clearly the more talented team. I just think Tennessee would have to play a nearly perfect game, which they clearly didn't. You know, like those plays, Derek, you alluded to, those are plays that they've been hitting in recent games. And when you can get behind that secondary, you have to take advantage. So, it would be interesting to see, you know, the crowd noise would not be a factor. You know, we're talking about a neutral field there. So that, and I think just Tennessee would be more prepared mentally for some of the things that Georgia brings to them. But, you know, that was sort of a perfect storm gone in the wrong direction for Tennessee on Saturday.
And I asked that, Mitch, is because I think if UT continues to run the table and they win the rest of their games, the three games they have remaining, if Georgia wins, as we all think they will, the SEC championship, I think there will be a second matchup between these two teams. I don't know if it will be in a championship game or in a divisional round, but I do believe these two teams will meet up again. And I think the philosophy from Heupel has to be a little bit different, because Kirby Smart took away everything down the field that Josh Heupel wanted to do. And it never seemed like they adjusted to sort of try to move the ball down the field methodically. It seemed like once they took away the deep passes, it took away any and every opportunity that UT had to win the game.
Yeah, and you hear offensive coaches talk about this, and especially ones that have such success, sometimes it takes a lot of patience in these teams that score so quickly. 4-play, 5-play drives, they don't have that patience. And you know, Georgia's great on defense, but very few defenses can take everything away. So if they're taking away the deep stuff, obviously that running game should be there depending on how many guys they have in the box, and you just have to show that patience to do it. Problem is, once you fall behind, you know, you start to panic. And, you know, we saw that in the Alabama-Tennessee game the other way around. Like, Tennessee got that big lead, and I don't think Alabama panicked. They started making plays and took what Tennessee's defense gave them. So, yeah, I mean, in so many cases like that, Derek, it's just, you know, how do you start the game? And I think Georgia is just, like I said before, is just so comfortable that once they got that lead, and once they showed, they proved to themselves where they could slow down, they were the first team basically to slow down the Tennessee defense, they got so much more confidence.
Mitch Light is with us from The Athletic. Mitch is the loser. Let me paint one of many scenarios that we like to do in November during this part of the year. Let's say Ohio State loses against Michigan on a last second field goal. It's a classic Michigan Ohio State game.
How far is
Michigan
the field goal?
Goes on to win the Big Ten. Is Ohio State out no matter what? Even if, say, Notre Dame picks off USC later in the season. Maybe that Ohio State-Notre Dame game, you know, looks pretty good. We know Michigan's non-conference schedule is a bunch of cupcakes, so they've got to beat Ohio State. But what about Ohio State with the pedigree they have sitting there with one loss on the outside?
I will counter that by saying I am not entirely sure that you can eliminate Michigan with a field goal loss. I know they didn't play anyone, and I'm not saying I subscribe to this theory because I'd have to think about it some more. But Michigan has been more consistently – they've been more impressive than Ohio State on a week-to-week. You know, you just look at the way they played their games. So do we penalize Michigan for not playing anyone in the non-conference? Sure. You know, I forgot the reasons, but they were supposed to play UCLA and they got out of that game, so that's bad on them. But they have been – so, like, are they not one of the top four teams just because they didn't beat anyone good? or do you look at actually how they beat teams and say, yeah, they are one of those teams? So I wouldn't completely discount them. Ohio State has not been as consistently dominant. We saw what happened. You can talk about the weather, but we saw them struggle against Northwestern there. So I would not say that the loser of that game is definitely out. Obviously, it depends on what happens at TCU, what happens in the Pac-12. I think we could see a scenario where the loser of that game could possibly still make it, but more things would, you know, a lot of things would have to happen, I think.
Another complicated one would be LSU pulls the upset and beats Georgia in the SEC title game. So Georgia has one loss. LSU is the SEC champion, but two losses, having lost to Tennessee at home. How do you sort that one out?
Yeah, that one's more difficult. Obviously, we've never had a two-loss team in the playoff. Beating Georgia would be by far the best win of any bubble team. Like NCAA tournament, we always talk about that. Like, you know, all these bubble teams look alike. Who have you beaten? How do you differentiate yourself? So LSU has that in this Willie Donick theory, hypothetical world, has that win over Georgia. Now, if they're going against Tennessee and Tennessee has one loss, that's just the committee decision. Like, win over Georgia, SEC champion, versus a team that didn't win its division but beat LSU in Baton Rouge badly. And how does Alabama finish? Let's say Alabama loses to Ole Miss. You know, at some point we got to remove the that's the greatest win ever for Tennessee, because maybe that Alabama team has three losses. So, I mean, these are all hypothetical. So that if it's LSU versus Tennessee in that scenario, that would be one of the committee's most difficult decisions they've had to make since this thing started. But in a vacuum, like, that's a pretty good two. That's about as good of a two-loss resume as we're going to see with an LSU team that would have that win over Georgia, because we all agree that Georgia right now is clearly the best team in the country.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Mitch, great job as always. We will do it again next week. We'll see what all happens this weekend in college football. It's heating up and getting a lot of fun.
All right, guys. Take care. See ya.
Yep. Thanks. Mitch Light from The Athletic joins us every Tuesday at 1. We'll have Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee at the bottom of the hour, as we always do. We'll come back, give our predictions on the top four and what we think, as we were discussing earlier. But first, Willie, you have a word about Loan Pronto.
All right, let's talk Loan Pronto. I know a lot of you out there are probably saying, you know what, I want to make the most of my financial resources right now. And maybe you've got some bills to pay. You've got some needs to address. Well, here is Loan Pronto's strategy going on right now that they're featuring, the all-new Express Equity Line of Credit. It's designed for those of you that have a good mortgage rate on your home currently right now. It's good and low. That's what you want to keep. You can do that and still access some cash out of your home's value. Don't do a full home refi. You can tap a small portion of the equity you have and enjoy a super low rate. Keep that low rate. So with Loan Pronto's Express Equity Line of Credit, you can close in 7 to 10 days, and a $50,000 loan will only cost you around $300 a month on the payments. So use that money that you can get access to quickly to pay the bills before the holidays. Maybe it's high interest credit cards. Maybe you want to start a home improvement project. Maybe you're paying off some other types of bills, a car loan or college tuition, whatever it might be, high school tuition. With Loan Pronto, you can access up to 95% of your home's equity, and 9 out of 10 homeowners won't even need an appraisal. So do it now before the holidays. Call Loan Pronto, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. This Sunday, following the Titans game, tune in for the postgame show with Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow, live from the Superbook Lounge in Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway. The postgame show is presented by Renter's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford. Custom order your new Ford from Two Rivers Ford. Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Talking college football in the playoff tonight. So officially, I'm going to say it's going to be Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, Tennessee, TCU.
Michigan.
That's where I think, what I think it's going to be.
Oh, boy. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you're wrong, Chase. It's not going to be that, because, I mean, It sounds just about right. There could be sort of this wrinkle. I think TCU could be the wrinkle in all of this, even with the Michigan and Ohio State both undefeated. I think it's Georgia. I think it's Michigan.
Oh, you have Michigan too?
Yeah, I think it's TCU, then Ohio State.
Interesting. So you're dropping Ohio State a couple spots.
Yeah, because of the way they play. Their last – Mitch was right. Michigan has played – even though their out-of-conference schedule was a bunch of cupcakes, they beat each team by 50 points. But they've played – out of every team in the Big Ten, they've played consistently better than everybody else on a consistent basis. You look at the two undefeated teams. Ohio State has had some problems. They had problems with Penn State and then had problems last week, I believe. I didn't watch the whole game. It was
a really weird game because it was awful weather.
Exactly.
Northwestern's terrible, but the wind
was such that
it was really hard to do anything. So, you know, I think you got to take that into account. They probably still should have won the game a lot easier than they did. There was something like a 38-point
They should have, regardless. I don't care what type of weather it was. They should have beat them. It shouldn't have been a game where it was that close for that long. Now, obviously, they end up winning the game, and that's all you care about. But I think if you've watched the last few games of Ohio State and Michigan, you can say that Michigan has dominated their opponents. And Ohio State, they've won, but they hadn't completely from the first quarter to fourth quarter dominated their opponent. That's why, to me, it's Georgia, Michigan, TCU, then Ohio State. Because right now, it really doesn't matter because Ohio State and Michigan hadn't played each other yet.
Right. It doesn't matter. But we're just tossing around our opinion of some of these teams that are in the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think? This is something I was not aware of until Mitch told us that TCU has had the break of playing some teams that have either lost their starting quarterback during the game or didn't have their starting quarterback to begin with. That's pretty interesting. I wonder how the committee would look at that. For example, this past week against Texas Tech, Texas Tech takes them deep into the second half, and it's very close. And then I don't know exactly when it happened, but I looked at the stats. They did lose their starting quarterback at some point in there, and TCU ended up winning going away. But, you know, we just talked about TCU's path. If they can get through four straight games with the team that they have, who they're playing, I'll really be surprised. And if they don't, you don't have to worry about where they put them tonight.
That's why I said to me, the rankings right now, last week and this week, really, when you're talking about the top four or five teams, it really doesn't matter because you know there's going to be some movement because two of those teams in the top five or four haven't played each other yet. So you know there's going to be some movement there. Georgia, they don't play anyone else until the SEC championship game.
Right. And that's
TCU has Texas. Now, if they beat Texas, then they would have a legitimate, reason to say, you know what, we should be the number two team in the country.
Right, for this week. But
particular week, yeah.
You can carry it all the way through. You almost have a whole another month of football to play. So many things can happen. But I think the real things to look at are the projections. I thought Mitch had some interesting insights there. Who's got the better one-loss resume? Depending on who loses the Ohio State-Michigan game. Let's say it's a great game. It's tight. Goes right down to the wire. It's a classic. Who's still got a shot with one loss? Maybe your answer is the loser's out no matter what. That might be your answer. But I think that there will be a case for the loser if it's a razor's edge game for Ohio State or Michigan, say, hey, don't forget about us.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. I mean, look, I think this is where it could be, and, you know, it was difficult last year. It's been difficult the last few years. I think that's why they're ultimately expanding, because you're going to have some teams with one loss that they're going to be left out, and they have and Tennessee could be one of them, and they have a legitimate case to be in. The loser of Ohio State, Michigan would have that argument. But it's all how they value certain teams. Now, if TCU loses this weekend to Texas, they're out. Doesn't matter. You can take them out of the equation.
They're not getting in with one loss.
No.
There's no way.
And I think, you know, Oregon or USC, UCLA, the winner of the Pac-12, could certainly have a case, but it's going to be a tough case, you know, depending on what happens with, you know, like you just said, if Michigan, Ohio State is really, really close and TCU's out and they've decided Tennessee's done enough to be in, there's one spot available. Do you take the Pac-12 champion, or do you feel like Michigan or Ohio State, their resume is better?
Well, I'm sure Michigan, Ohio State fans would say our resume was better. But I mean, if you look at their resume, and then look at sort of TCU or USC. If USC run the table, win the remainder of the game, they only have one loss, right? Mm-hmm. And say they win the SEC Correct. Championship game. So in all of that, but even with
I put Willie in Houston, we're calling TCU, TSU, there's all this stuff.
But if you look at all of that, and you look at, I think that USC would have a stronger argument for the loser between Michigan and Ohio State. If USC runs the table and wins the Pac-12 championship, I think USC would have a bigger argument than the loser between Michigan and Ohio State. I just think the schedule bears it out. How many teams they play.
Also the league champion, this goes back to a philosophical question. The league champion, in my mind, should mean something if you're your league's champion in a Power 5 conference. Some people don't think that's a factor at all. It's a philosophical debate, and I think different people on the committee probably value it different. There's no rule that says you have to be your league champion. I wouldn't be opposed to that. You have to be your league champion to qualify the playoffs. And I think down the road when they expand, I think there will be special consideration for league champions and then a separate category for at-large. But right now, there are a lot of people that says, I don't care if you win your league or not. I think it should matter something. Think it should matter.
It's all about strength of schedule with the leagues.
Yeah. So. But USC quickly. Their only loss was a one-point loss to Utah, and Utah is a ranked team. Mm-hmm. So if they continue to go on, say they would have beaten UCLA. I'm just saying all of this considering I'm projecting them winning. They would beat number 12 UCLA. They would beat a tough Notre Dame team who just beat Clemson, and then you win the Pac-12 championship. I don't know how you couldn't take them in front of a one-loss Big Ten team that didn't make the championship.
Right. Coming up next, we'll get to Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee. He joins us coming up here on Chase Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. As we do every Tuesday at 1:30, we say hello to Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee. He's on the line with us as they'll take on Kentucky this weekend at Kentucky. Coach, how are you?
Doing well. How are y'all doing?
Doing fantastic. I know that it was a tough one Saturday. Very close game. Your guys put up some fight, but just like Missouri, come up a little bit short. As we talk to you about culture and learning to win, how difficult is that part of being a head coach, of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel but not quite able to get there because of some self-inflicted wounds?
Yeah, I mean, it's painful in the competitive moment, but I think you got to constantly kind of pull up and take a big picture approach where you understand that we have to just step back in the fight and keep swinging, that there are positives we can build on. You got to focus on those and make sure the guys see the positives. And then, you know, the areas where, you know, we could have controlled the outcome. So there's never going to be a game where turning the ball over four times is going to be good for us. We had some missed opportunities on offense that, you know, we're unfortunate. You know, and these are, you know, throw and catch conversions that we just weren't able to make the connection. A couple of our shots, too, just were out of sync. Defensively, leveraging tackling on the perimeter, I mean, that's continued to be kind of our Achilles heel, you know, just not making the available play. I thought at times in all three phases we played well, obviously not well enough to get the result. I was pleased that our defense got two possessions back for our offense at the end there. Just, you know, we ended up turning the ball over on those. So, yeah, it's frustrating, but at the same time, you know, we keep marching forward and just try to keep, you know, crafting the narrative around the identity we want to play with and what winning requires of us.
Talking to Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach. AJ, not on the depth chart for this week. How's your quarterback?
Well, he's banged up. I expect he'll be back, you know, this season. But, you know, obviously we have a great number two in Mike Wright, a guy that's started a lot of games for us and made some big plays. And behind him, we have Ken Seals, who has started a lot of games for us and made a lot of plays. So we feel good about where we are. Obviously, we want AJ to be back healthy because, you know, he earned the starting job for a reason. But I'm excited to watch Mike go out there on the road this weekend and compete.
We'll talk with Vanderbilt's head football coach, Clark Lee. Now, Coach, AJ goes down, Mike comes in. That has to be hard on a backup quarterback who was once a starter. I know you got to be prepared at all times, and I'm sure he was. But how proud of him were you that he comes in, even though you guys got the loss, he still came in and did some good things for the offense.
Yeah, Mike loves playing. You know, he just enjoys being out there competing, and so it's fun to watch him. And he, you know, when he gets his turn, he comes alive. I mean, he lights up and he's ready. I'm very proud of Mike. I think this has been a challenging year for him personally and rightfully so, but he's maintained a focus on being a great teammate. He's been a great support to AJ. He's been ready when his number is called, and, you know, he gets a great opportunity this weekend to go win an SEC game on the road, and I'm excited for him to do that, and I'm excited for him to be the quarterback against Kentucky. It'll be a fun time, and, you know, I'm sure he's going to want to go out and put on his best performance.
Now, with that being said, do you lean more on your running game now moving forward? Not to say that, listen, you believe that AJ Mike underneath center, that he's going to do a really good job, but Your strength right now is your running game. So do you lean on that even more now?
Yeah, I think you know, as we kind of showed early in the season, Mike gave us the opportunity to add elements to that run game that allowed it to be explosive. We'll look to get those going. And the other thing we learned early in the season is you can't just be one dimensional, right? We have to be able to loosen the box. We have to be able to get the ball out on the perimeter. And so we'll look for opportunities to do that as well. But I was really pleased with how the run game came together against South Carolina. And I'm for sure looking to continue that. Obviously, that'll be a critical part of our identity offensively here moving forward.
Talking to Coach Clark Lee, Vanderbilt Commodores. And, Coach, you know, you manage a lot of different people on a football team. You got all your players. You got a big staff. And it's hard to know what everybody is going to put out there. But that being said, you've had a tough situation arise here with your defensive backs coach. I know it's under review by the Equal Opportunity of Access office at Vanderbilt. What can you tell us about his situation? I know he's stepping away from the team while that review is going on.
just such an unfortunate distraction. And first of all, I mean, the idea that that you know anything coming out of this program would be connected with you know hate speech, discrimination, put anyone at risk is you know just makes me sick to my stomach. You know, we're disappointed, and also, you understand the process that needs to be gone through here. And what I want for our team is to be able to shift focus, and really, you know, make the preparation for Kentucky the talking point internally here. I mean, the guys had a good practice this morning. It was our first practice of the week for Kentucky. They were spirited. They were focused. I felt good about that. You know, I need our leadership to step up right now and just pull everyone together. And I really don't have a lot of concerns about that. But just, you know, again, very disappointing. You know, the last few days have been difficult and challenging. You know, the Equal Opportunity and Access Office will conduct a thorough review, and you know they'll fully understand the context, and they'll provide clarity for the university's path forward. And we have to hand this over to them at this point, and you know, and you know, focus on the task at hand, which is preparing this team for Kentucky.
Okay, let's talk Kentucky. And what in your mind, Clark, have they done to get to where they are? We know traditionally that. You know, how Vanderbilt's doing versus how Kentucky is doing has been pretty important in the equation. And when one team's doing well, they usually beat up on the other. So right. Kentucky is a really nice job these couple years. What have they done so well?
Well, the program, they've built a consistent winner. You know, he started 2-10 and I believe 5-7. You know, they had a similar start to what we're experiencing. And they just stayed the course. Mark's done a great job. He's been consistent in his process. And over time, they've been able to recruit and retain and develop a team that, you know, has won a lot of games. And I think in that way, they've become a model for us as we kind of undergo our build. This Kentucky team is a good one. The running back's, you know, an NFL player. He's a tough runner. He finds the yards where there's not space. He creates the space. You know, they're good up front, and obviously the quarterback is special. So they're gonna be a challenge to us defensively, and their defense. You know, they're big up front, and they're long and athletic, and that seems to have been the formula for them. You know, the last season and this year when we played against them, you see a more of a pro-style attack offensively and, you know, disruptive play on defense. And they have an identity, and they play to that identity. And that makes them so good.
Coach, appreciate the time today as always. Best of luck this weekend at Kentucky. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Good to be with you. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach, joining us as he does every Tuesday at 1:30 here on the show. Coming up next, we will give you the trivia question of the day. Willie, it's a huge prize. We have a pair of tickets on the line for Billy Joel, Stevie Nicks. You can win them before you can buy them. They go on sale this Friday at 10 o'clock, but Friday, May 19th at Nissan Stadium. So you got to bring it with the trivia question coming up next. But first, Derek has a word about Cool Springs MD.
Yes, I do, and I'm going to tell you because you know why? Because I want all my men listeners to hear this. So open up your ears, pay attention, because I need to tell you about Cool Springs MD. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife Daphne, along with their experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee, that's including me, people, with improving their immune systems, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and a rich life. So there's no better time now to achieve a healthy lifestyle, man. So what are you waiting on? give Cool Springs, give Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and Cool Springs MD a call today for an appointment. And here's the number, 615-486-3458. And if you didn't hear me, here it is again, 615-486-3458. Or visit their website, coolspringsmd.com.
Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It's time for trivia. 615-737-1025 on the line. A pair of tickets to see Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks at Nissan Stadium. You can win these before you can buy them. Tickets on sale Friday at 10. But you must call, and we're going to do this on the air. So Ian will get your name. We'll put you on hold, and Willie's got a trivia question ready to go. But 615-737-1025 is the number to win Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks tickets at Nissan Stadium before you can buy them. That's going to be a great show. I can't wait for that.
Sounds like it's going to be a good one.
There's a lot of good stuff coming to Nissan Stadium this summer, this spring and summer. You got T-Swizzle up in there.
She know you call her T-Swizzle?
Yeah, I think everybody calls her T-Swizzle. Right. What's up, Taylor? How you doing? Is she single? I think I don't think she's single anymore.
Shoot your shot, Chase.
She's not married, though. So.
Yeah, so shoot your shot, man. She's listening, I'm sure.
November. Well, I think it was the old morning show. Uh-huh. We discovered that Taylor Swift's dad listened to the station.
Oh, yeah. So, hey, throw it out there, Chase.
You never know.
Shoot your shot.
Whoosh. Shoot or shoot.
Exactly.
November 8th, Election Day. Chase shoots his shot with Taylor Swift. Willie, your thoughts?
My goodness.
Hey, man, you got to go for it. You only live once.
YOLO. You might as well do it, man.
Thank you. That is. Thank you, Michael. That is true. Something like that.
I would never get over that. I would never get over that.
The ceiling is the roof.
Oh, man.
It's still
he was a little saucy that day, boy. Well, no, probably a lot saucy.
Sauced or?
He was something, so let's just say that.
615-737-1025 for trivia. Is anyone, nobody wants to weigh in on this? Ben wants to ask Packers questions?
Okay.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, Packer
questions. I thought for sure.
No, that's not what we're doing.
I think we got some. I think some things are coming through.
No, we're waiting. But Titans with the off day. I was reading some quotes. Mm-hmm. Kevin Byard, Ben Jones. They did. They talked earlier and did a Zoom and everything. Two of the leaders on this team, rebounding. But the hardest thing, going into this is even though Denver's not very good, if they don't have Ryan Tannehill. Just how effective can they be? How much more can you throw on Malik Willis? I think that's one thing we're going to find as the week goes on.
Yes, we will. I mean, you're looking at a Bronco team that, they are underachieving. It's been a huge disappointment for this organization. They thought by getting Russell Wilson that this team would, be one of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl. Well, the season just hadn't worked out that way. But they have a hell of a defense. One of the top defenses in points allowed. So I think they're leaning a lot on that. So even though you have a Bronco team that is coming in here and they're not playing well, they still travel with a really good defense.
Yeah.
And you never know which Russell Wilson you're going to get. You might get the Russell Wilson that's doing, high knees on his way to Nashville on a plane. And he might come out and play a good game along with that very good defense. You can't take this team lightly, even though they are really, really underachieving this season.
I have received a text on my personal text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai, from one Chris Sanders.
Yes.
And he says, quote, swing and a miss, LOL. Thank you, Chris.
I don't think you missed, man. I think it landed somewhere softly.
You know what would make my day? Of me saying something stupid like that and shooting my shot with Taylor Swift if she actually called in. We would go viral.
I think I got a better shot at winning the Powerball.
Yeah, better shot at winning the $2 billion.
No, I'm playing. Somebody won that yesterday, by the way.
Of course, my luck, she would call in and just say, hey, you sound like a great friend. Cool. Go write. Do you write a song about your friends?
Hold on. And listen, if she wants to put you in a friend zone, you need to still take it.
I mean, yeah, that could actually lead to good things. Good point.
That could lead to, you know, I keep you around. There we go. Yeah,
all right, absolutely. Willie, we got some people on the line ready to weigh in on trivia. Are you ready with the question?
Let's go. These are Billy Joel, Stevie Nicks tickets. This is big. 737-1025. What are we waiting on to get the
we got it.
The trivia question out there, to get the callers on there? Let's go, people.
We're going
to 615-737-1025. I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Let's go to Tim. Tim is going to be first up. Tim, are you ready for Willie's trivia question?
I guess Willie's usually pretty good with his trivia, though. They're usually pretty tricky.
All right.
All right. Here we go. Broncos are in town. Let's take a little look at Broncos history. John Elway won the back-to-back Super Bowls in his last 2 years in the league. Who was the next Broncos quarterback to win a playoff game? 615-737-1025 if you know the answer. The next quarterback after John Elway to win a playoff game for the Broncos.
Peyton Manning. Tim Tebow. Dang it. I missed it.
Never mind. Which one's your answer?
I think I know the answer.
Tim Tebow
is incorrect.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. All right. Let's go to Mason. Not Derek Mason. Mason.
Yeah, it's Mason with an N.
All right. Are you ready for Willie's trivia question?
Yes.
You need me to ask it again, or do you know it?
Oh, it's the same question?
Yep.
Same question.
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning. Good guess. Incorrect.
Nah, fuck.
Okay. I mean, this is. Well,
this is not.
Oh, my goodness.
This is not Sirius XM, people.
Oh, man.
Moving on. Let's go to John.
Oh, man.
Hope John is familiar.
737-1025. Who was the next quarterback to win a playoff game for the Broncos after John Elway retired?
Wow, I'm still shocked by that other caller.
I know.
What's your answer?
Yeah, I don't even know if this guy played for the Broncos. Did Sanchez play?
No.
Did Sanchez play? No.
For the Broncos, no.
Mark.
Uh-uh.
No.
No, he didn't.
All right. Let's go to Scott. Say what? We got time for maybe one more.
Let's go.
Scott, do you know the answer?
I'm going to have to say I believe.
Sanchez play.
Oh, gosh. It wasn't.
Need an answer, Scott.
I'm wrong. So pass.
All right, move on.
I'm wrong is the answer.
I'm wrong is the answer.
Let's go to Jay.
His nickname is the snake.
Hello?
Hey, yeah. Jay, do you know the answer?
Tim Tebow?
Already been guessed. Move on. His nickname is the snake.
Cole, do you know the answer?
Is it Gary Kubiak?
Nope.
It's not Jay Kubiak.
He was the coach.
He was the backup for John Elway for a long time.
Are we going to get out of this without an answer?
No, we're going to get one.
Somebody else got online. Come on.
615-737-1025.
We got somebody.
There's a texter that I think has it right.
Well, I'm sure there are. There is every
Scott,
day. But you got to call.
Who? Scott.
Yes.
Do you know the answer?
It's Jay Cutler.
It is not Jay Cutler.
Oh,
no.
All right, one more. David, do you know the answer?
Yes, sir.
Who is it?
Jake Plummer.
Thank goodness.
There it is.
Wants to go to Billy Joel.
All right, David, you're the winner. We'll put you on hold. Congratulations. There we go. David gets it. I said Cutler, and then as soon as you said Plummer, I'm like, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. All right. Great participation.
He likes mushrooms. That would have been my next hint. He likes mushrooms.
Great participation. Some of you need to look up FCC rules, but that's okay. Stick around. Stillman and Company coming up next.
Ending the show with a bang.
They are leading it off with Coach Jared's film room. Cannot wait for that.
Oh, wow.
Stick around. That is all next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
We out.